So we are on week two of this discussion, which I believe will be a three-week discussion about the status of land owned by a non-Jew. During Shemitah last week, we talked about Kedusha Shvius in the non-Jew's land and the question of Yesh Kinyan versus Ein Kinyan, the debate about what the Rambam's position exactly is, the debate between the Maharit Mabit on one side and the Beis Yosef on the other side. The basic conclusion of that was that the position of the Beis Yosef, which Rosh Shlomo Zalman, as we'll see this week, adopts, is that when the non-Jew owns the land, then Yesh Kenyan at that moment, meaning that during his ownership it does not have the status of full status of Eretz Yisrael, what that means we'll have to see. And then if a Jew buys it back, then at that point it has full Kedusha once again. That was the Beis Yosef's conclusion. The Maharit were of the position that in Kenyan altogether it's always Eretz Yisrael, even when in his possession. Okay. So what I want to talk about this week is really two topics. Number one, when the non-Jew owns the land, during Shemitah, produce grows there. Does that become hefker, the way that Shemitah produce is supposed to be hefker? That's one question I want to deal with. And then to start on the question of, is a Jew allowed to work in the Akum's land at that point? We're not going to finish that whole topic this week, but next week I want to continue with that and talk about the question of harvesting in the non-Jews' land. And that's the way I'd like to break this up. There are various subtopics, some of which we'll get into, some of which we won't get into, because that's life. But let's start with the question of whether the Akum's produce is happening. So I brought you material here that I retyped from the Madani Eretz for a lot of this, just because it was much simpler to do it that way than to try to recreate all of the different ideas from the sources and building it in. Just bringing the Madani Eretz itself helped. So I start out with a statement that Rosh Shlomo Zalman makes in Madani Eretz in source Yud Tes on your sheets. He says, "V'av shelech ora yesh lomar, derak mi biur hu depater ha'akum, v'pnei she'abir lav midi..." It should be dimamelo. Elashie shchiyav ala baylam hafkirum bisman habir. Vilachein shapar minim da akum potter. Umela potter gama lokeh mishum tamadikasini mikach gava vachule. You know, I'm going to have to explain this before I go through it. I thought that I could do it as I go through it, but I'm going to have to do it otherwise. What Rosh Shlomo Zalman is going to do here is he's going to distinguish between hefker and biur. Okay? Hefker meaning the idea that the produce grown during Shemitah is hefker, biur meaning you're obligated to destroy it. And what he's going to say is that the distinction between the two is that I would assume hefker is automatic. The produce becomes hefker, you know, by virtue of its existence during Shemitah. Whereas biur is an action you're obligated to do. And therefore, even if the akum is exempt from the chiyuv of biur, nonetheless, the produce will become hefker. That's the argument that one might make. And so this is what he writes there in your text. Now let's see it. Even though you could make the argument that the akum is exempt just from biur, because that's an action, because biur is not automatic, but rather there's an obligation to make it onerous during biur, what he has done there is to build in a different debate we still have to get to at some point this year, God willing, and that is how you fulfill biur. Do you fulfill biur by destroying things, or do you fulfill biur by rendering it hefker? But then he's taken the side here that it's rendering it hefker. But since it's about an action, therefore we can say, yeah, the akum is exempt. Umemela potter gam halokeach, and therefore also the person who buys it from the akum is exempt. Mishum taima de kaasina mikoach gavra, because of a reason which we're going to see later from Rabbeinu Shimshon, which is that if I take possession of the Akum's produce as a result of his ownership, he sold it to me, then whatever things he was exempt from, I am exempt from. So therefore, if he was exempt from beer, then I'm exempt from beer. As opposed to hefker of produce that I bought from him that was connected to the ground, that is because the pasuk says, you shall leave it. Just abandon it. So it's automatic. It becomes hefker by you not doing something. Since it is simply afkata de malka, Hashem declares it to be ownerless, and will apply, Jewish or non-Jewish owned, doesn't make a difference. That's the argument that one could have argued, that one could have brought.
Justice here pairs with the makubar.
Yes.
So that means if it's talish before Zman Bi'ur.
Right. So if it's talish before Zman Bi'ur, yeah, let me hold off on the beer piece, because you're right. That is something that you see repeatedly, is this emphasis on makubar.
Yeah.
But let me hold off on that, because I want to deal with the hefker piece first. So view number one in our two-view debate is, of course, going to be that it is hefker. View number two is going to be that it's not hefker. So view number one, that it is hefker, is the position of mabit / maharit. And it's brought in the Madani Eretz in Zayin Ches. The mabit and maharit say the Akum's produce is hefker. We have an example here from a tshuva of the mabit from Aleph Yud Aleph. He writes in Source Chaf. He's talking about Meiser here in this discussion. So he says, since the Yisrael, the Jew, has no obligation to separate Truma and Meiser, so of course the non-Jew also has no Chiyuv. Because the Akum's land and what it produces is not going to be obligated in something that a Jew would be exempt from. He's only inheriting whatever obligations we have. But if there's no Isser for the Jew, and then Kol Shkein to Migoy, ain't Shum Chiv Afilu Derabbanon. Right? We're not going to say that his stuff has true and nicer obligations that ours does not. I don't actually know who he's quoting. I didn't bother to go hunting for that as a quote. It's a concept. If in fact the non-Jew stuff was obligated in Meiser, then why would we say Stam that it's Hefker and there's no Chiyuv? Right? It makes no sense. You would have had to say that. The intis akesh lomar, and if you will be stubborn, don't be stubborn to the mabit. If you will be stubborn and say, kilo patra tarmi maisos elamashu hefker shehem peres yisrael, awo peres goy she'eno mafkiram yu chayavim, maybe you'll say the reason why the Jew stuff is exempt from true maisos is hefker. The non-Jew doesn't make his produce hefker. So therefore it should be chayav. Those were the key words, though. Peres goy she'eno mafkiram. That shows that he's saying there is no hefker there. But just to finish his thought, because it's rude to interrupt him in the middle, Lohi says it's not so. Da'atu Yisrael shegadar karma of lohithkira b'shnas hashmita yischayiv b'meiser. Will a Jew become obligated in Truman Meiser on his produce if he doesn't make it hefker? Right? He fences it in. Boom, now you have Truman Meiser. It's nonsense. Harachmana afkrei la'arei la'niyem b'lashirim. Hashem said it is not. It is hefker, and that's it. No chiyuv meiser. Kol shekein b'goyim, certainly for the non-Jew. That's the position taken by the Mabit. So does the Maharit in Aleph Mem Gimel. And the idea is hefker is a function of the kedusha that exists, and so it'll apply to the Akum's produce. And he distinguishes between that and matanos aniyim. Leket. Shechacha, right, not Peah, because Peah requires designation. But let's say Leket and Shechacha, he says, that will not apply to the Akum's stuff. Even though Hefker applies, Leket and Shechacha will not, because those are about property. It's about giving something to the Ani. He never gave it to them. That's the distinction that he draws. He says Shemitah and Hefker is more like Bechor. Now, that's going to be controversial. But that's his statement. He says, Hefker is more like Bechor. The animal is born, it's a Bechor. You didn't do anything. He also says you could see this as an extension of Lachem Velo La'akum regarding Perishvi. It's what we say. It's supposed to be for you and not for the Akum. So just as you're not supposed to give him your Peros, so he doesn't have a kinyan on it on his own. He asked a practical question, which I was going to bring in, but I felt it would just be too much of a tangent, but it was an interesting one. If you look in Madani Eretz, Zayin Ches, he asks the question, so assuming that you're really saying it's Hefker, is it Gezel if the Akum takes it? Right? Is he guilty of Gezel for having taken it? It was supposed to be Hefker. It's an interesting side question, worth looking at. But that's view number one. View number two is that, no, it's not Hefker. And for this, we turn to the Rash HaZaken, as he's often called,
in Shvi'is Perek Tes, I brought it as it is quoted in the Mabit, the Mabit Aleph Chaf Aleph, because I was having a terrible time finding a good excerpt from the Rash. If you take a look at source Chaf Aleph, Va'afilu b'biur lo mechayvi. Okay, he says the produce that you bought from the Akum is not chayav in biur. Aval gav sheyesh kan kedusha shvius. He says there is kedusha shvius kedemuchach beduchtei tuva, as is clear in many places. Isura vadai hu delo paka ela biur hadavar taloi bimamon lahavkir ulachalek laaniyim. He says the isur is what's not gone from this, but biur is an action. You have to make it hefker. Oafilu, and it says la'anim in our edition of the Mabit, but it's a mistake. It should say la'ashirim. Oafilu la'ashirim l'Rabbi Yosi. The question of what your hefker is doing, is it hefker for everybody, is it hefker for the anim, is its own discussion. So he says, matzi l'meimar, and this is the key quote, matzi l'meimar ka'asina mikoch gavra de l'masas l'shta'uye dina b'hadeh. He says, if a Jew buys this produce from the Akum, and as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to say it's the Mechuba right now, but if the Jew buys the produce from the Akum, he can say, I am coming from somebody to whom you don't have access. There's nothing you can do to him. He's not making it hefker, and therefore I am not. And the Madani Eretz goes on at length to say, this is talking about not you can't do anything to him because he's outside of your laws, but he's not obligated to be mafkir. He has no obligation whatsoever. This produce is not hefker. And that's what's quoted in the Mabit. The problem with this position of the Rash, quoted in the Mabit, that he is saying that the produce brought from the Akum in Shemitah has Kedusha, but there's no beer because beer is about hefker and hefker doesn't apply. The problem with that is the Mabit, in another tshuva, quotes the Rash to say that his peros are in fact usher after beer. If you take a look at Source Chav Beis, Tosefta de Ahalos, right? We saw this Tosefta last week. Hey, Yehuda ben Yaakov beis Guvrin, veYaakov ben Yitzchak beis Gufnin al Kesarin. Testimony regarding Caesarea. Shechziku bamei olam vehitiru shalom minyan. And they said it was mutter, and there was no vote of a beis din. Upirish Rabbeinu Shimshon Zal besof Ahalos alai Tosefta vehitiru shalom minyan means what? May atzman hischilu linog baheter ulupotra mi meiser umishvius. They decided on their own. No meiser, no shvius. Even though there was no decision by a beis din to that effect, when the Akum abandoned the marketplace to go to the circus, so they took the pair of shvius that were there. End of quote. And they didn't say, well, this is Shemitah produce post beer. And the implication now is, and this is the key, the Mabit says this without blinking an eye, if this area of Caesarea was considered Eretz Yisrael, it will be usher after beer. Mashma b'feirush, the peros like a peros Yisrael b'shvius. So that means that the Akum's produce in Eretz Yisrael is like the Jews' produce, and therefore has the isser after beer. So now I don't understand. The Rash was quoted in Aleph Chaf Aleph as saying that the Akum has no biur and no hefker. In Aleph Yud Aleph, though, he says that it is indeed usser after biur. The only reason Caesarea was different was because they decided Caesarea wasn't there to Yisrael. And in fact, the Mabit has a long tshuva, Shin Lamed Vav, in its Aleph Shin Lamed Vav, with all these laws for Shemitah, and he brings both of these without noting the contradiction. The Madani Eretz is very confused by this. It's Zion Tes through Zion Yud Gimel. And he explains it by seeing the Mabit's view on Tzchora, on doing business with the Akum's produce. The Mabit extended the Rash's idea of Kasina Mikoach Gavra, etc., that I am an outgrowth of the Akum's hold. So he extended this idea to say that then you could be lenient with Tzchora as well. The Akum is allowed to do business with his produce, you're allowed to do business with the produce you got from him. That's the idea there. So he gives two different explanations for why this works. Take a look at Source Chav Gimel. In Zion Yud, he offers the following. A very interesting idea with other ramifications as well. We talk about, in other areas of Choshen Mishpat law, the idea of reserving rights. I tell you, I'm giving you the following, or selling you the following, only to allow you to do X, Y, and Z with it. I'm not allowing you to do other things with it. So, for example, the Gemara Bava Metzia discusses whether you can give somebody money as an ani, as a needy person, and say, you can only buy a shirt with this. And then what are his rights, you know, in terms of that? Or it comes up popularly in the discussion about intellectual property. Am I able to sell someone a download and say it in, but you're only allowed to listen to it, you are not allowed to copy it over, right? Reserving rights to myself. And that tends to be, I believe, the strongest argument for intellectual property in halacha is this idea of reserving rights. But that's what he uses here. Hainu mishum desover shekol ikar isur schav gimel. Hainu mishum desover shekol ikar isur schora hu rach mipnei shelo nasna ha-Torah zechia v'perot shviyas shein hefker ela la'achila bilvad. He says the idea is that the Torah says this stuff is hefker. And the only right you are going to be able to claim in your use of it is to be able to eat it. That's the right that I am allowing you. Masha'in kein le'inyan schora, as opposed to doing business with it. Adayin hu behefkero, it is still hefker as far as schora is concerned. V'lav kol kiminei lasos ben schora, you lack the authority to be able to do business with it. You weren't given the right to acquire it for that purpose. You follow? Masha'in kein belukech min akum, as opposed to if you buy it off of the akum, delav mefkero kazacha, then you're not acquiring it from hefker because it wasn't hefker. So therefore, you as the buyer are able to engage in business with it. So what Shlomo Zalman suggests is the idea is that you're given the right to claim the hefker only for the sake of eating and nothing else. That's why normally schora is asur. However, the akum stuff wasn't hefker. So therefore, there's no limitation on your use of the peros. And that is why the Mabit, and by the way, he says in Zayin Yud Gimel that that is the Beis Yosef's approach. That's why the Beis Yosef will allow Schora. So he says that could be why the Mabit says that you're allowed to engage in Schora. But then he rejects that. Because he says, we saw the Mabit says that it does have Hefker status. So what am I going to do? So therefore he comes up with a second possibility. He says, you know what, you're right. Forget what I said. In source Chav Dalet, he says, "V'hanira l'afini is daiti." The Hamabit v'Hamaharit Savri, to how the poter Rabbi Shimon has halokech mi biur lav dino. The exemption that you have of not doing biur, they believe, is not actually letter of the law. El rakulo hu shehikil harash mi svar de nafshi b'shviz bezman hazeshu rak derabanan. It's a kula because it's a chak because it's a derabanan. So he said, "Okay, we're not going to apply the rules of biur." And the Mabit extended that to Schora for the same reason. The Mabit took what the Rash had said for biur, and he applied it to Schora to allow you to do business with it. And so how does this answer my problem? The Mabit in Aleph Yud Aleph, when he said the peros are osri after biur, was talking about Shemitah de Oraisa. The Mabit in Aleph Chaf Aleph, where he says that no, they're hefker, is talking about Shemitah de Rabbanan Bizman Hazeh. So in practice, what he ends up saying then is that Bizman Hazeh, you could make the argument for beer and hefker even within the Mabit. Sorry?
They would agree.
They would agree, correct. The Ravid is the other one he brings in Zayin Vav to say that there's no hefker status. And he goes back to the Gemara that we saw about the Azeka. Remember the Peros Azeka that we discussed last week from the Gemara at the end of Yevamos, Yamas Kuchav Beis. What they were talking about there was that if there's an Akum merchant who tells you that his Peros are from Azeka, and the implication is therefore Usur, it's in a whole list of other things that would be Usur, you don't have to believe his statement. Right? So the question is, what would be wrong with Azeka? What is Azeka? So the Baal HaMor said Azeka is Meshumar. It's produce that was guarded. And that's why it would be prohibited. So the Ravid counters that. And the Ravid says, only a Jew's Meshumar is a problem. A non-Jew is allowed to guard his produce. What's wrong with him guarding his produce? And so the Madani Eretz says, and did I actually bring it on here? Yeah, I did. It's in source Chafei. He says, "Lefini is daiti." I'm sorry. It's in source Chafei. "Lefini is daiti nira." V'yesh lomar. Da'av al gav de'hefkera de'shvias hu afkata de'malka. So make sure this is what I wanted. Is automatic. Yes, no, this is it. This is what I wanted. He says, Yeshlam the Avakav the third the Shmiyas who have counted the Malka, even though the Hefker of Shemitah is Hashem's divine decree, and therefore I would say it should apply even to the Akum's property. Mikal Malkam Lahifkiya Torah's Habailus Elame Misha Mechuyav Min Hadin Lahafkir. Nonetheless, the Torah only removed the ownership from somebody who had an obligation to make it ownerless. Masha'in kein akum, as opposed to the non-Jew. Afa gab she'in lo shum z'chus kinyan b'nogei lafko as kedusha, granted that he has no right of acquisition when it comes to removing the kedusha of it. Mikom akum kinyan mamon mi'ayeshlo. Nonetheless, he owns the property. That paras ha'rayin shalom l'choldomer, it's his produce. Kim b'war v'kam b'komas b'yirushalmi. Therefore, the Torah never decreed that his paras would be hefker, or meila enam nesarim klal mishum mishumur, and therefore there's no issue of them becoming usher if they are guarded. You follow? Gam hevesi sham, and then Rosh Zalman said they also brought there. It's referring to Chelek Gimel of the journal Kerem Tzion, where he had also mentioned the first idea. So they also mentioned there, Ksas Dugma Lazeh, an example of this, and this takes you back to the Bechorah point. Imashikasa Ma'arit Agazi, the Reish Hachos Bechoros, Me'at Tosefta, the Behemas Hefker, Ptura Me'at Bechorah. The Ma'arit Agazi quotes the Tosefta to say that an animal that is ownerless, if it gives birth to a firstborn animal, Potter. V'nasan Tam Lazeh, Mishum Da'af Agav She Bechor Kodesh Me'elav, granted that Bechor is naturally Kodesh on its own, that's only if there are owners who would be obligated to make it kodesh. Does afal pisha lavakishu abaylim kadosh umeilav? So even if the owners are derelict in their duty, nonetheless the animal becomes kodesh. Mash enkin v'kiyai gavda. But in a case like this, deleka abaylim shemechuyavim lahakdisho. There are no owners who are obligated to sanctify it. Eino kadosh klam umeila. So then it will not have kedusha automatically. You follow? The idea that he presents, that Rosh Shlomo Zalman is presenting here, to support the Ravid, right? Again, the Ravid's challenge to the Baal HaMor was, how can you tell me that Azeka would be Asur? Azeka is Meshumor. I'm sorry, that Azeka is Meshumor, and therefore it would be Asur. Only a Jew is Meshumor. Sorry, let me make sure I say this properly. The Baal HaMor says Azeka is Meshumor, and therefore it would be prohibited if you believed him that it actually was Azeka, right? The position of the Ravid is that a non-Jew is allowed to be Shomer. There's nothing wrong with him being Shomer. And the Madane Eretz supports this idea by explaining, yeah, because Hefker won't apply to the Akum's produce. Why won't it apply? Because, after all, he had no chiyuv. And that's the point for us, is that he believes there's no hefker for the Akum's produce. And his illustration is the case of Bechor, and this idea of Ma'arit Al-Ghazi on Bechor is the same idea.
The Chiddush of Rosh Shlomo Zalman, I think, is that even though we might say Yesh Kinyan when the Akum's there, he still believes that the karka itself is kadosh. I mean, in terms of the Eser Vota, another thing.
Right.
And that's why it's a kiddush to say, even though it still has that kedusha, because the person who's the kinyan who's there is in chayav, that's why there's no hefker.
Correct.
Because if you just said yesh kinyan, then it shouldn't be.
Then there's no kedusha.
Right, it should be pretty. You could think it would be pretty pashut that there's no hefker. So just, even though you would say there is that element of the karka is no kadosh, because the person who's there is in chayav, that's why.
Right. No, that's true. Okay. So we have, then, the position of Mabit Maharit, that it is hefker, right? At least if we're dealing with a deoraisa, anyway. Then you have view number two. Well, it's hefker, either way, their view is that it's hefker. The only question is whether we require a beer. View number two is that it's not hefker, and that's the position of the Rash. That's the view of the Rash. No beer, no hefker. I'm sorry. I'm just making a note for myself on this. And then we have the position of the Ravid, who says that there's no hefker, no beer as well. Now, the one additional note, within this view that it's not hefker, right? And therefore, I might be obligated to do beer. So he has an added piece in Zion Yud Zion based on a piece that he had in Siman Beis.
So you should say no hefker, but yes beer?
If it's no hefker. Right, I'm sorry. Is it possible to say that it's not hefker, and yet I might be obligated to do beer? Correct. Correct, correct. The I talked myself in circles as I was learning this, so I could, yes, I could be wrong, but I believe that's what I'm trying to say. The we'll see the piece that I brought. What happens is he writes one thing in Siman Beis and doesn't tell you that he's going to all question this. And then in Zion Yud Zion, he says, by the way, what I wrote back there, yeah, that's wrong.
What, in Zion Beis, that's every time with the hefker?
Not Zion Beis, in Siman Beis.
Oh, Siman Beis.
In Siman Beis, he has a piece in which he has Mabit and Maharit taking the Rosh's idea about Asina, right? Asina Nikach Gavra, vis-a-vis Schora. To say that just like the Akum is allowed to do business with his produce, so to the Jew who buys it from him is allowed to do it, right? And what he said there is that according to the Mabit and the Maharit, there's also no obligation for Biur. If you buy Mechubur, and this is where I want to come back to the Mechubur point, there's no obligation for Biur if you buy Mechubur from the Akum. Just like Schora is Mutter, business is Mutter, there's no Biur obligation. Even though they believe that it's not even though. I guess it's just like they believe that it's not hefker. But in Zion Yud Zion, he goes back on that. Sorry, no, you are right. I'm talking myself in circles again. Let's get this straight. Mavid and Marit say it is hefker. However, they say that just like vis-a-vis Schora, you're coming from the Akum's side of things, and therefore you're allowed to do Schora. You're, for Biur purposes also, you are coming from the Akum's side of things, and he has no Chiyuv Biur. It is Hefker, but he has no Chiyuv Biur. And therefore, you don't have to do Biur. Okay? If you bought Mechubar, you would not need to do Biur, and specifically Mechubar. But then he says, now that seems to be wrong. And that's what I brought you here from Zion Yud Zion. Take a look at Chavav. He says, if you want to look up what he wrote in Siman Beis, it's on page 20 in the Matan Eretz. But he says, Mashik Safi Le'el B'Siman Beis, Diladaz Hamabit V'Hamaharit, Dinakti Keharash Le'inyan Heter Schora, Upatu Menabir V'Neres Akum, because De'efshar Shafilu im, this is the quote that he brings from Siman Beis. The Efshar Shafilu im Kadamei Ha'akum es Perosav Be'yosim Mechubar Madayin Lakarka Gamkein Eino Chayiv Klal Ha'afkira Mishum Tekeva Nishahefker Hudabar Shemamamon Matzim Memra Sinem Mikach Gavar, etc. Right? Ein Zenachon. He says, what I wrote back in Siman Beis, that when you buy it from the Akum, since the Akum doesn't have a Chiyuv Biur, you don't have a Chiyuv Biur either. That's actually not correct. Why? The Bishlam Aleinian Biur Shaper Yesh Lomar Sheikr Chuvas Biur Hurak Bekiha Gavna Shetchilas Hazikia Haisa Minha Mufkar. Because he says, regarding Biur, you could say that the obligation for Biur is specifically in a case where you acquired it from him. The Amrinon She'emacha Bahem Zchus. Ela ad zman habiur bilvad. Your ownership, because you got it from Hefker, so all the rules pertain, including, just like we had suggested before, you acquire from Hefker, you have to obey the rules regarding Schora, you acquire from Hefker, and you have to obey the rules of Biur. So that would be the suggestion. Umeilim, kana Yisrael, me'akum, bedamim, for that matter, whether you bought it off of the Akum or whether the Akum gave it to you as a gift, doesn't matter. Shaper, Matsya, Markasina, etc. You could say, I'm coming to you from the Akum. Masha'enkein chobas ha'hefker b'mechubar dehavi mishum kedushas ha'aretz. But he says, it's not the same thing as when you're dealing with mechubar. the obligation to render it hefker, not to guard it, when it's connected to the ground, is because of Kedushas Haaretz, which is not lost when the Akum owns it. So Mistaber Shafilun Kani Yisrael Meha Akum B'damim Gamkin Chayev Hafkiram. So if the Jew buys it off of the Akum, he is going to be obligated to make it hefker. The Bishlam of the Kiyagavna Shachantu Oviyu Shlish Bipatur Shafir Paturin La'olam. Granted that if something reaches whatever stage is the trigger stage, blossoming, reaching one-third growth or whatever, and it's exempt from fill in the blank, then it's going to be Pater forever. Mash'inkein Hacha, but here, to the Das HaMabit, Gam Bershus HaAkam Yeshel in Kol Kedusha Shviz. The Mabit says it has Kedusha when it's connected to the ground. Shapir mischayev ki Yisrael ahavkir asaperos miyad im knisas on the Rishus Yisrael, he will indeed gain the obligation to render the produce hefker when it enters his Rishus. So to say this a little bit differently based on the way I wrote it in my notes, even if beer is dependent on the produce being acquired from hefker, right? The obligation for beer begins if you acquire it from hefker. But the obligation for hefker on mechuber is due to kedusha of the land itself, right? And therefore, he will need to be mafkir that which he buys from mechuber because it still has kedusha. So I wrote in Simon Beis that if you believe in ka'asina, you get out of beer on the stuff you buy from the akum if you buy mechuber. But my answer now is that's not true. Because the obligation for beer and the obligation for and the obligation for beer from a chuber is not necessarily a function of the Akum's ownership. It's a function of Kedushas Haaretz, which is still there.
Well, is it almost that when it's a chuber, it's hefker? When the Akum takes it, it's no longer hefker? And therefore, depending on what stage you buy it from the Akum, it's going to depend whether you have a beer. If you get it from the Akum, then it's not coming straight from hefker, and then you could say kasi. Right. If it's coming straight from hefker, because even when it's mechubar, it's still hefker, so then you will, then you can't say kasi, and you have a beer.
Right. Right. Correct. So that's the idea. Last piece within this issue of whether it's hefker or not. The challenging question of guarding produce in the Akum's field. Okay? So, if a Jew is guarding it, for sure you have a problem. The Jew is not allowed to guard produce, even in the field of the Akum. This has huge ramifications. Because remember, all of this is occurring within the framework of Heter Mechira. Right? So I sold my field to the Akum, and now I want to guard the stuff to keep it from being taken. Rosh Shlomo Zalman has a nice discussion that comes up a couple of places about the Esrogim, the Esrog merchants. Is he one of those? He has a couple of tangents on the Esrog merchants and what they're doing with
that.
So he says here, according to the Mabit, that the Akum's produce is, in fact, hefker, right? So the produce is the same as a Jew's produce, and you're not allowed to guard it, right? And therefore, if we hold, there's a machlokus, but if we hold that which has been guarded is usser, then this produce is usser too. Heter Mechira didn't help you, assuming you're following the Mabit, that his produce is in fact hefker, right? That's the idea. Assuming also, he adds, that the Isser includes Meshumer by non-violent. In other words, it's possible to argue that which has been guarded becomes Asur only if it was guarded by the owner. If I walk into somebody else's field, and I put up a thing and I say, this is off limits to everybody because I want to be able to take it for myself, does that mean that everybody else is now Asur to that produce? Do I have the ability to do that? That's its own machlokes, which when we talk about Shmira, I guess we'll have to discuss.
According to what Shmuel Zalman says earlier, in terms of the hefker for Shemitah being everybody owns it,
yeah,
then it makes sense to say well, everybody's essentially the owner.
Then everybody is like the owner. Right, so that's true.
I think he might have brought up, I don't know if he brought up that case, I think he was in some ways there as well.
The problem with saying that, it could be that he brought it up discussion.
Yeah.
No, it could be he brings it in that discussion, I don't remember. The thing is that there are ways in which we retain the owner's unique status. You know, there are certain ways in which ownership is retained, even though we're calling it hefker. So I'm not so sure that would be true. The bigger question that he asks, though, is what if it's guarded by a non-Jew? Right? So he says, in I brought you Zion Yud Zion, where he begins on this. He says, Hashud hu, she'isir zeh, rak li'Yisrael ne'mar b'lo la'akum. He says, this prohibition against guarding the produce, he says, that's a Jew's prohibition, not the non-Jew's prohibition. Ve'avagav shagam peres akum havi hefker, grant that the non-Jew's stuff is hefker. Mikol makom im noel ha'akum is karmo, sag sadeu b'shvi'is eino over klal, mishum iser. Nonetheless, he's not violating anything by fencing in his vineyard, right? Even if I take the view of the Mabit, right, that it's hefker, that doesn't mean he's violated an iser by fencing it in. Mishum de lagabe ha'akum into elakishar peros hefker. Right? It's just like any other hefker produce. There are no rules governing who gets to take hefker. It's hefker. V'kevin shekein. Yesh lomar d'tamayu d'hani d'savri d'ein iser mishumar b'shal akum. So those who say indeed that there's no problem with it having been guarded, hu mishum d'kevin shemais hashmira heter gamar hu la'akum l'chein asrinan d'rak mimash shehin zarte v'ifrashta mehem b'nei adam b'iser hu da'asur. He says, it's theirs. They can do whatever they want. That's the idea. I wonder if... Should that be Amrinan? Not Asrinan?
Yeah, what is Asrinan?
Yeah, I suspect it should be... I suspect some of these Madani Eretz quotes I just retyped verbatim, and some of them I did the OCR. I copied and pasted, and the OCR just made a lot of mistakes.
Yeah, because it's just
a header gamur. Yeah, no, it should be. The word, I think, should be. I'm looking in the original, but yeah. I believe that it's simply a mistake. Yeah. And 1 second. I know basically where this is. Truth is, it'd be faster if I opened that up because I've all marked up. But I'm looking at the PDF. Here we go. No, I think it's
even me. That's what the difference is. That's like what the sentence.
Yeah, more or less. That's what a lot of this discussion starts to sound like after a while. But either that, or when you read from Shlomazam, and since it's us, or therefore it's mutter. All right, so I have to look it up later in the and correct it if there's an error on it. But I suspect that it's simply wrong. For some reason, I'm not finding it at the moment. I know I'm on the right page, but I'm not finding it. All right. In any case, we understand what he's saying there in that paragraph. The idea would be that even if it is hefker, the Akum is entitled to guard it. In Chavches, though, I brought you from his next paragraph where he says, Baram, however, Kevan da asinon at lahacha, nira deshvias bizman hazeh, yesh lismach vada gama liba da amabit, al das hasovim de mishumashal akum mutav achila. Even if I am going to take the view that it's hefker, and therefore I would think Mishumah will be a problem, Shemitah today is Darabanan, and therefore I won't worry about it. Okay. That brings us to the next piece, which is Avoda in the land of the Akum. So we're not going to get very far with it before Josh has to go, but I want to get a little bit into it at least. The Beis Yosef, and this comes from Madanei Eretz Beis, and Madanei Eretz Ches and Tes is where he discusses these. But the Beis Yosef says you're not allowed to do Avoda in the land of the Akum. That's not allowed. We begin not with a piece from the Madani Eretz, but from a piece from the Kafta Vaferach first. The Kafta Vaferach brings various sources to say you're not allowed to do work in the Akum's land. For example, Mishnah in Shvi Esteres Chafes is a classic. It says, Umachzikin Yidei Ovedei Kochavim B'Shvias, Avalo Yidei Yisrael, B'Shlon B'Shlom, B'Sholim B'Shlom, Amnei Darkei Sholim. So he says, if the Akum is working in the field during Shemitah, you are allowed to be Machzik Yado, but not Yad Yisrael. Machzik Yado, as we explain it in the Yerushalmi, is to encourage him verbally, and in Babli also, but to encourage him verbally, not via an action. You're not allowed to work with him. Similarly, I brought you in source Lamed from the Gemara Gittin, Ein Odrin im Akum b'Shvias. You're not allowed to hoe the land with the Akum during Shemitah. There is a source that is problematic, and that is the other piece of that Mishnah that I brought you in source Chavtas. I brought you in Lamed Aleph, which says, Chochren Nirin Ode Kachav b'Shvias Avalom Yisrael. You're allowed to rent a plowed field from an Akum in Shemitah. What am I doing with it if I'm not allowed to work his land? What am I renting? So he's answered, Akatum Afarach Memzai, and answers, no, that's actually talking about renting a field from the Akum, that the Akum plowed during Shemitah, for you to be able to plant it after Shemitah. And the idea is, I'm only allowed to do it from the Akum. The rule is, if a Jew plowed his land during Shemitah, I'm not allowed to rent it for use after Shemitah, because then I'm rewarding him for plowing during Shemitah. The chiddush of this Mishnah is that I'm allowed to do it with an Akum's land. The other piece of the Kaftar of Harach quotes is the Baal HaTruma, who says that you're allowed to plow and plant in the Akum's land, but he says Rabbeinu Eliezer does not agree with him. And neither do I, Kaftar of Harach says. So the Shlomo Zalman in the Ma'adanei Eretz in Ches Yud Gimel, as well as in Tes Aleph, discusses the position of the Beis Yosef. And he says the Beis Yosef agrees with the Kaftar of Harach that Avodah in the Akum's field is not allowed, and you see it in the Kesef Mishnah. The Rambam wrote in Shmita V'Yovel Dalet Chav Tes, source Lamed Beis, we've seen this before, Akum Shekana Karka Beretz Yisrael V'Zara B'Shviyas Perusea Mutar, and if the Akum buys land in Eretz Yisrael and plants it in Shmita, the produce is Mutar, right? Leave aside the whole Svichin thing that we've already discussed. And in source Lamed Gimel, the Kesef Mishnah comments, saying the Peres are fine because the Jew didn't work with them. Peres Devar Rabbeinu Kachim. Akum shakana karka beretz Yisrael v'zara v'shvias perasea mutarin klomar mipnei shasavish shal akum v'gam lo neva ba'avoda yidei Yisrael hilkach mutarin. It's mutar because it's the Akum's field, and the Akum is the one who did the work, not you. And so the Beis Yosef says, right there in the Kesef Mishnah, the Jew should not be doing work in the field. So Shlomo Zalman writes, I was going to bring the quote, but I just got tired of retyping, every mistake in the OCR. But Shlomo Zalman in Ma'adanei Eretz, he says, I'm shocked at the introduction to Shabbat Ha'aretz in Simon Yud Aleph, in Rav Kook's Shabbat Ha'aretz, intro to Shabbat Ha'aretz, as well in Taras Ha'aretz Yud Mem Hei, I'm shocked that they all say that it's only Yasser Midirabbanan. And he said, what are you talking about? He said, the Farish, that it's Usser, and that the result of it is the Paris or Usser, and that if you did plant, the produce is indeed going to be prohibited. So he says, absolutely not. He does not allow Avoda in the Akum's fields during Shemitah. And he says that the Beis Yosef's view fits his understanding of the Rambam. Because remember, as we saw last time, and I mentioned briefly in the beginning today, the Beis Yosef understands that the Rambam believes Yesh Kinyan while the land is owned by the Akum, right? That while the land is owned by the Akum, Shemitah does not apply. But the Rambam says, no avoda. The Rambam says, you're not allowed to do avoda in the field. Hilchos Trumos, Aleph Yud. This is an interesting point that he made. And the Rambam writes, source Lamed Dalet, Akum Shekara Karka Beretz Yisrael Lohikiyu Amen HaMitzvos El Arei Yibikdusha Asar. Right? The land retains Kedusha. Leficha Im Chazar Yisrael V'lak Kamimenu Ein Of Kibush Yachad El Amafrish Trumos U'maisos U'mevi Bikurim. The Jew buys it back. He does Truma. He does Maisim. He does Bikurim. V'akom in Atara Kilu Limku El Akum Eyolam. V'yesh Kenyan La'akum B'sur Yalafkiyam En Arayisos Min Hashmiyas Moshiyas Bo'er. What did the Rambam include in the last statement about Surya that he did not include in the part about Eretz Yisrael? He skipped something in the first half. He skipped Shemitah. Right? The Rambam always includes as a set Truma, Meiser, Bikurim, Shvias. But he didn't here. He dropped Shemitah. Why? Because, says Shlomo Zalman, because if he had mentioned Shemitah includes Avodas Karka. And the Rambam believes that even when the Akum owns it, you're not allowed to do Avodas Karka. So that's why, rather than explain all of that, that some of Shemitah applies, some of Shemitah does not apply, and here's what does and here's what doesn't, he left it out.
I mean, if we look at the Rambam, it's such a great deal. Considering the second part, he only says, I mean, the Maestros, I mean, the Shemitah.
He didn't bring the whole set. Yeah, that's true. No, but he also makes the point about it being all of the rest of the Rambam stuff, that the Rambam always includes them as a set. Which you have to,
based on this Rambam.
Based on this alone, you could make that argument.
Yeah.
That's true. But you can see it also in source Lamed Hei. where the Rambam writes, Machzikin Yideyakov B'Shvius B'Dvarim Bilvad, right? You're only allowed to have them verbally, like we already discussed, right? He does Avalo, he concludes, Lo Yisadenu B'Yad, you don't help him by hand. Right? You only are allowed to help him verbally. You can encourage him, but that's all you're allowed to do. The reason why that's all you're allowed to do is because you're not allowed to do avodah in the field, even though it is the Akum's field. So that's the position of the Beis Yosef, as well as the Kaftar Vaferach. It seems to be our understanding of the Rambam as well. What I still have to get to next time with an avodah is that there are those who believe Yesh Kinyan and there are those who believe that if you believe Yesh Kinyan, avodah should be mutter. We have to discuss also the issue of taking care of trees in the Akum's field, which is unique in the Madani Eretz. Tes Ches is where he discusses that, as well as the grounds for those who permit malacha in the Akum's field bisman hazeh. Before we get into the question of whether harvesting is the same as avodah, or whether tzira v'tzira maybe have their own status. So I'll send out simanim in the Madani Eretz for that. That willing, maybe even today. We'll see.
Let me just, alright, so I will go through that tosfos. What happens is others contend that if you believe Yesh Kinyan, then avodah has to be mutter. You don't have the right to say the avodah should be us. Or Yesh Kinyan means the Akum owns it, it's not Shemitah. And that's clearly the implication of tosfos in Gittin that I brought you in Source Lamed Vav. Tosfos in Gittin writes, Ein Odrin Ma'akum B'Shvius, right? You're not supposed to hoe with him in Shemitah, like we saw already above in Source Lamed. He says, V'ha the Gemara Perek Zeborer, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Gabe Kohen V'Choresh, Yochol Lomar Lo Agiston Ani B'Socha. Right? Where they talk about the Kohen as being the whole issue of where he's doing something inappropriate and you're going to encourage him or work with him and so on. So he could have justified and said, I am an agisto. Don't worry about all of this. This isn't really germane for a key point. But Mefarish Rabbeinu Tam, agisto v'karka shemekabla min hamelech lefra kachnach tuva b'shana. An agisto is somebody who gets land from the king and he works it and he has to give the king a certain amount every year. Kedemar hasam le'olmino, Rabbi Yaneh machris poku v'zaru arnona b'shvi. It's like Rabbi Yaneh with the arnona, the head tax that the government uses to take, where you had to provide a certain amount every year, and if you don't provide it off with your head, then you don't have any head to pay arnona with. This is Vishema Sakanas Nefashas Ikram Lo Yifru Maslim Melech. Maybe it will be dangerous. That's all the side note. The key is what comes next. Inami, alternatively, the reason why you were allowed to work in that field as the agistone is kasavar yesh kenyala nachmi ba'aret laf kia mishvius. Maybe the reason why you're justified in working the land is because you believe yesh kenyan. Tosus does not believe yesh kenyan. We've seen that. But he says if you believe yesh kenyan, then it's logical to also believe you can do avoda. And similarly, outside of this Tosus now, in Surya we say that according to yesh kenyan, you're allowed to do avoda. The Sefer and Truma says yesh kenyan, and that leads him to permit avoda. And indeed, the Maharit, Aleph Mem Gimel, I didn't bring it here, but the Maharit, Aleph Mem Gimel, understands that the Beis Yosef will, in fact, permit avoda in the Akum's field. We know this because he challenges the Beis Yosef, and he says, how can you believe Yesh Kinyan? The Gemara says, Ein Odrin Im Hanachri, you're not allowed to hoe with him. If you say Yesh Kinyan, obviously you are allowed to work with him. That's the Maharit in Aleph Mem Gimel challenging the Beis Yosef. He says, if you believe Yesh Kinyan, obviously you're allowed to work, and why should the Gemara say you're not allowed to work? Right? The Madani Eretz disagrees. He says it's not what the Beis Yosef believes, but because it retains its Kedusha. But that's the point. The point is that it's really logical to say Yesh Kinyan, and therefore you may do Avodah, but the Beis Yosef is not of that persuasion. Yeah?
The Shita is saying, Odrin is talking, could be talking about a Jewish.
Right, that's the question. It's about a Jewish field, and the Nachri is simply the one doing the work. That would be a way to deal with it. Okay, all right, that took us through that. I'm going to stop with that. Sure.